Hi, it's Alan Chartok in the Congressional Corner with Richard Neal, Richie to his friends, Massachusetts 1st District. He's been in office since 1989, and he is right at the precipice of one of the greatest successes in American politics, being the chair of the Ways and Means Committee in the United States Congress. How sure is that to happen, Richie?
Well, I think the likelihood is pretty certain. We will caucus beginning tomorrow. And then we will move to discussions over leadership positions. And I assume that the actual formal votes or ratification of a slate will take place probably toward the end of November.
That's fantastic. So what do you think about these midterms? Was it a wave?
I think it seems to be headed in that direction now. I know that on election night, because there were so many undecided races when the polls closed on the East Coast, that it was hard for people on the East Coast to imagine just what the side of the West Coast would look like. And now, as you and I speak, it looks as though Democrats have won 37 seats with 8 yet to be determined.
Wow. You know, I was watching an election here in the Northeast between John Faso and Antonio Delgado, and I was saying to people, you know, this could be the seat that makes it one up for the Democrats. And it turns out 35, that's pretty good.
Well, I think the other thing to watch for with these elections, you can generally come quickly to ascertain that in every election there's a trend. So you can look at a couple of hotly contested races in geographic areas of the country, and even if a certain candidate might not be winning, if the other side is only ahead narrowly, that generally indicates what's going to happen. So we were watching a race in Kentucky with Congressman Barr, and once it was determined there, even though that he was going to win by, I think, 1.5 points, that the race was close enough so that that would ignite what looked as though it was a pretty significant trend across the country.
So is it all about passion? Is it all about turnout?
Well, I think midterms are peculiar in the sense that Republicans over the years have demonstrated more of a proclivity for showing up during the midterm elections, but not to, I think, understate what happened in this election, because the energy clearly was with Democrats. And oftentimes, I think the midterm election is based on the enthusiasm of what we call the outs. And the other part of it is that there are now fewer and fewer what we call persuadables in American politics.
Interesting.
And I think as that number has narrowed, then you more and more have to make sure that those who are registered with your party are the ones that show up.
So I have a political science-y sort of theory, see if you agree with it, which is that the reason Republicans show up in greater numbers is they have more to protect. Therefore, they show up to protect it.
I think that's a pretty good theory. I think that stands up.
Okay, so that when you saw this, we have to ask the question about Nancy Pelosi, because it's what every journalist says, every congressman on the air. Are you going to vote for her, they say to people. I've been saying, predicting, that there's no way she's not going to be speaker again. Am I wrong?
I think you're correct. She can't lose a Democratic caucus. And recall that because the Speaker of the House position is a constitutional provision, you have to secure 218 votes in front of the full House. And I think that if we had won a very narrow victory, let's say we had only picked up 24 seats, then I think that there would have been a contest. Now, there is nobody to rally around in the Democratic caucus. So I also would point out that having known her for a long time, that a lot of people have lost a lot of money betting against her.
She's described this time as transitional. What does that mean?
Well, I think that the age difference now, when you consider who got elected on Tuesday, is substantial in our caucus. The people that tended to get elected across the country were now in their 30s and 40s. And the result of which is that I think that generational change in the Democratic leadership in the House is now just around the corner.
So when you get people like Octavio Cortez and others who are to the left of the party, does that make a difference?
Well, I mean, I think that the energy, certainly, that they demonstrated during the campaign was important. And at the same time, I also think that elections are also about governing. And I think that it's important for people to frame issues that you might aspire to, and then acknowledging that at the same time, incremental progress is something you can point to as success. So I hope that for those who in this election cycle won, that they are going to take a profound interest in the idea that, after all, an election is about forming a government for the purpose of governing. And I think that what happened in this election, which was very interesting, I think, across the country, the national news media kept making the argument that this was about insurgency. And when you measure the results and you look at it, as I think political scientists would quickly come to conclude, that was really not the message on Tuesday night. I think mainstream Democrats really won across the country. And let's be frank, I mean, for a Democrat to win in Oklahoma, which none of us saw coming, or for a Democrat to win in South Carolina, or for Democrats to win Republican districts across in Orange County, for example, which has been the hotbed of conservative thought in America dating back to the first Nixon administration all the way through Goldwater and Reagan, that the idea that there was not going to be a Republican in Orange County in Congress anymore, it tells you, I think, what the national script is going to look like.
So was it all about Trump?
I think a lot of it was. I think that's where the energy level was. I think certainly in Massachusetts, when you look at the turnout, you quickly would come to the conclusion that it was about Trump in Massachusetts. And I think that in many states across the country, that it was an issue as well. I mean, but there were a lot of other issues as well. The state and local tax deduction in New Jersey, New York, and California, that had a profound consequence. When you consider the caliber of these candidates on the Democratic side, many of these women have military backgrounds. And whether you're looking at Chris Houlihan in Pennsylvania or Mikey Sherrill in New Jersey, when I met these candidates and helped to direct their messaging and helped to direct their fundraising, I came to the conclusion very quickly that this was a crop of candidates that was going to be successful, and they were.
That's amazing. Now, the president, I got 2 minutes left, but I want to ask you real quickly. The president has been blaming the leadership in California for the forest fires. It seems to me, of all the despicable things, you know, he's done, that's really pretty close to the top.
Well, it's nonsense. I think that he frequently embraces the straw man arguments for the purpose of then having them knocked down, because by that time he's already moved on to the next outrage. So I hope that, you know, given this election, that, you know, you're not going to outsnark him. So I think that trying to get some things done here would be very important to the Democratic caucus, but just as, if not more importantly, to the American people.
So when Jerry Brown answers him back, he does it at some risk, but it does appear that Donald Trump doesn't like to take prisoners. And if you're in a blue state, he's now saying Puerto Rico, for example, not a state, but a commonwealth, isn't going to get any more money. We are now talking about getting even, aren't we?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, revenge in politics only carries you so far. I think that a 2-year election cycle comes and the American people quickly come to the conclusion of what happened during that tenure. So I think that the presidential aspirants now are probably doing their own calculations on the Democratic side. But I think that demonstrating for us that we can do some pretty big things as the majority in the House of Representatives is the better place to be.
It's always wonderful to talk to a man I greatly admire, Richie Neal, congressman from the 1st District, my district, in, as a matter of fact, in Massachusetts. Great to talk to Richie. When we come back the next time, I got a lot more for you.
Thank you, Alan.